hot mot freden för 60 år sedan, det tyska Luftwaffe. Det var skapat av Hitler och det var skapat för att erövra Europa. England och London drabbades hårt och i början så fanns det inget försvar mot bombräderna.
Coventry, seit dem Erdboden gleichgemacht worden. Mr. Churchill aber maselt immer noch von der Unbezwingbarkeit seiner Royal Air Force.
Den moderna radarn skulle bli räddningen i slaget om Storbritannien. Men inte bara för kriget i luften. Också ubåtskriget skulle förändras. Och nu skulle de tyska ubåtarna bli jagade. De flygande armadorna kunde precisionsbomba tyska städer och industri. Kriget vanns tack vare bland annat den nya radartekniken som skapats av krigets forskare. Ja, det var alltså hotet från Hitler och hans flygvapen som tvingade fram en användbar radar. Själva tekniken var i och för sig inte alls ny. Den hade lanserats av en tysk forskare redan i början av 1900-talet. Men då togs den inte på något större allvar. Men nu, vid 30-talets mitt, då var det allvar. Snart kunde de tyska bombplanen slå till, var som helst och utan förvarning. Och det var just behovet av förvarning som gjorde att engelsmännen startade ett intensivt utvecklingsarbete. Det engelska stridsflyget, det var i klart underläge. På varje engelsk maskin så gick det 5 tyska. Och alltså så måste man kunna sätta in sitt lilla flyg i exakt rätt ögonblick. Radarn blev alltså det hemliga supervapnet och det skapades på kort tid av ett synnerligen begåvat och kreativt forskarlag. Det blev en forskarnas kamp mot klockan och det är om den här dramatiken som kvällens dokumentär handlar. Det är BBC som har producerat programmet. London i augusti 1940. En engelsk fysiker är på väg till USA och hans resa kommer att ändra andra världskrigets förlopp. Slaget om Storbritannien pågår för fullt och han har med sig en revolutionerande uppfinning som är nyckeln till försvaret mot de tyska anfallen.
Nearly all of us about 20 years old. It was urgent and secret and one knew that what one was doing was worth doing.
Och det var alltså radarn som var den hemliga uppfinningen.
Without it we would have lost the Battle of Britain. Its role absolutely crucial.
Krigföringen skulle komma att förändras helt. Radan skulle bidra till att krossa Hitlers dröm om att erövra världen. ...1935 skröt nazisterna med bombplanens effektivitet.
Motoren sommern über freie Lande. Metallene schwingen herrschen über freiem Raum. Als Hüter einer neu erstandenen Macht. Erdacht von vielen Hirnen. Erbaut von 1000 Händen, erschaffen durch einen Willen, zum Schutz und Schirm für Deutschland.
So Luft an und niemand ist hin, wir sind in der Erde und
Under första världskriget var flygplanet bara en nymodighet. Men nu hade tyskarna förvandlat det till det nya supervapnet i form av tunga bombplan som kunde ödelägga Europas alla hörn.
Germany had demonstrated in the Spanish Civil War what modern air bombing could do. the awful destruction it could wreak on cities. And the general opinion in this country amongst air staff and the politicians was that there was no defense against the bomber.
Panikkänslorna återspeglas i science fiction-filmer. För dem som var medvetna om hotet från Nazi-Tyskland så kändes domedagen nära. När de tyska bombplanen hade passerat klipporna i Dover så skulle de nå London om 15 minuter. Det enda som kunde stoppa dem, det var tusentals jaktplan. Och det var precis vad man saknade. Premiärminister Baldwin tycktes ge upp hoppet att kunna försvara landet mot tyska bombplan. I ett tal uttryckte han sina farhågor. Men Baldwin sa inte att man i största hemlighet just hade börjat arbetet med att ta fram ett nytt försvarsvapen.
Before an enemy aircraft can be intercepted and destroyed, we must know where that aircraft is. Our first job then, gentlemen, is to find the enemy.
Man vände sig till fysikern Robert Watson Watt, en pionjär inom radioforskningen, och bad honom hitta ett sätt att upptäcka och förstöra fientliga bombplan.
The rumors went round that the Germans were developing this jet, right? The Air Ministry offered a prize of £200 for anyone who could kill a sheep at 200 yards.
Get them in your sights and blast them when he gets close enough.
Watson Watt was asked, is it possible to generate enough radio energy to either stop the plane engines working or to bring the pilot to the boil?
Any living thing dies under the ray.
You mean the human being?
Oh, a man first would go into deep coma.
I'd watched all sorts of silly stories developing even in the official channels about stopping motor bicycle engines at a distance and killing unfortunate mice and rabbits by some kind of mysterious radiation. But I said, I don't think that in the present state of our knowledge of physics that it's a very good prospect. So offhand I would say, I don't believe it will help.
Men han sa också vad som kunde fungera.
Detection by radio, as distinct from destruction by radio, is being examined, and numerical considerations will be submitted when desired. And at that moment, the civil service changed gear and came back quick, saying the considerations are indeed desired, and that quickly.
Men innan man lade ner pengar på utvecklingen så ville man se något konkret. Så forskarlaget arbetade hela natten med att koppla ihop en primitiv radiomottagare med katodstrålerör. Morgonen därpå stod forskarna på en åker och väntade på att ett bombplan skulle flyga över dem. När planet passerade genom radiovågen så syntes ett eko i monitorn.
At that very same day, Hitler was officially announcing in secret at that time the formation of the Luftwaffe. So there was this great Nazi gathering in Berlin with Goering and all the top brass of the Luftwaffe, and there was this field with a van from Slough with Watson Watt inside it and his nephew parked on the grass bank outside. Quite a contrast in situations, and it was that experiment that was to play such havoc with Hitler's ambitions to conquer Europe and the world.
Den topphemliga forskningen förlades till ett övergivet flygfält på den engelska ostkusten. En av teknikerna var den här mannen som då var bara 19 år gammal.
They chose this boat, of course, because it was secret. It was difficult to get to, both for us and for any spies that might be trying to see what we were doing. It's a fearful nuisance because you had to bring with you all the equipment you had, and some of it quite heavy. And the place as a laboratory for doing advanced electronics was really badly equipped because of that. Have any professional radio engineers. We were nearly all ex-amateur radio enthusiasts. This was due to Watson Watts' theory that physicists would be more innovative than engineers.
Idag finns det inget som tyder på att det skrevs historia här. Men de fyra unga männen arbetade dygnet runt med sitt hemliga vapen.
Their job was to follow up the original experiments at Daventry. Now, what had been shown at Daventry was that radio echoes are reflected by an airplane structure. The problem was to turn that into a practical system of detecting the position of an airplane at a useful range.
Uppdraget var att konstruera en sändare och mottagare som bestämde riktningen hos radioekorna från flygplanen.
It was the most fabulously exciting and fascinating kind of occupation. And we lived and breathed and almost slept and certainly talked constantly about the possibilities.
Snart lyckades de fånga upp radioekon på 30 kilometers avstånd.
They all jumped for joy because, of course, it showed the system worked. They all believed that this was the answer to the defense of Great Britain. This was, so to speak, the philosopher's stone. This was the one thing that would save the country from air invasion.
Man flyttade till en större bas, men ett fiasko lurade om hörnet.
In September 36, we staged a large demonstration of radar here, which is intended to show how it could be used to detect an invading force. And behind us in this stable stood the Minister for Air and the members of the Tizard Committee, which controlled the development of radar. In fact, all the big shots were standing behind us in the dark. And we waited there anxiously. And then a whole fleet of flying boats came in towards the coast. We sat there and nothing happened. And Watson Watt, who could talk a monkey out of a tree, stopped explaining after a time how wonderful radar was, because in point of fact we could see nothing, until in the darkness there, with the three of us anxiously staring at the cathode ray tube, we heard the faint hum of the engines of the invading aircraft. And at the same time as we heard the hum, we saw some faint echoes. I mean, you can't imagine a worse demonstration. And it very nearly delayed the whole development of radar.
Utskottet var inte imponerat. Men man hittade felet och sex månader senare så togs världens första radarförsvarssystem i bruk.
It's all very hush-hush, but we've got five RDF stations covering the Thames estuary. Bordsey, Bromley, Canewdon, Dunkirk and Dover. Any aeroplanes coming towards our coast will be picked up by one or more of these stations, who can tell whether they're friend or foe. They report their positions back to London.
Det gick bra att mäta avståndet med hjälp av radarn, men det var svårt att bedöma antalet flygplan.
We had adjacent stations all the way up the east coast, and you would get from two stations, plot on an aircraft, which looked like two aircraft because of the inaccuracy of bearing. So the technique was to filter out the inaccuracies.
Det här var flygvapnets högkvarter i Stanmore.
We got to work with post office technicians, and within 2 days we'd built a filter table.
I stridsledningscentralerna sovrades radarstationernas uppgifter om flygplanen och markerades på en karta.
The filter room was essential, otherwise there would have been utter confusion. The commander-in-chief, Air Marshal Sir Hugh Dowding, would be fighting a battle with very limited aircraft and crews. He had to husband them carefully until he knew the magnitude of the battle he was fighting, and all that was assessed on the operations room table here in Bentley Priory.
Men de 100 meter höga masterna hade inte undgått tyskarna. Och bara en månad innan kriget bröt ut så fångades ett jättelikt eko. Positionen var 80 kilometer utanför den engelska kusten. Föremålet närmade sig Themsen och vek sen av norrut.
I was in the billiard room at Bordsey Manor here, and somebody rushed in and said, look out of the window. And there was the grass zeppelin steaming by slowly in stately fashion in the sky. And it's quite a surprise to see a zeppelin flying, actually see one. And I'd seen pictures of them, of course, before, but I'd never seen one in real life, and it's quite a surprise.
The assumption made by airmen and intelligence, this was a German spy mission designed to locate all our radar stations, to measure their frequency, their power, and other radio characteristics. And therefore, the Germans would now know we had radar on a substantial scale.
Man trodde att tyskarna skulle anfalla radarstationerna så snart kriget hade brutit ut.
To our surprise, when war came, the attack we thought would be launched didn't come. And it wasn't until the 12th of August 1940, the day before Eagle Day, which was the day designated by Göring for launching the main attack on the Royal Air Force, the Luftwaffe attacked 5 of our radar stations along the south coast.
Stanmore, I can't plot anymore.
Take cover, everybody.
We were waiting for them to come back the next day to extend the attack further up the east coast, and we were completely mystified as to why they had not come back. And if they had done so, the whole of the south coast radar system would have been out of action for weeks.
Chefen för Luftwaffes signalförband, general Martini, ville att radarmasterna skulle jämnas med marken. Men Göring sa nej, därför att luftskeppet inte hade avslöjat något.
What had happened was that this giant zeppelin with thousands of rivets was being absolutely hammered by the very high power transmissions from the radar system that they were trying to detect. So their receivers were saturated with radio noise that they couldn't identify as a radar signal.
Rena turen räddade Storbritannien från en katastrof den gången.
Göring called a conference of his Luftwaffe commanders, and he said, we've wasted time attacking these radar stations. No more attacks are to be made on them. Göring's great problem was that he was a brave fighter pilot for the 14 war. He knew relatively nothing about modern air warfare. His attitude was, don't waste your time fiddling around with all this radar gadgetry. Get on with the war, boys.
Hitler inledde en serie bombanfall mot militära flygfält. Det gick 5 tyska flygplan på varje brittiskt. Och nu kunde de elektroniska vaktposterna upptäcka fiendeplan på över 150 kilometers avstånd.
The plots would come through from Stanmore, and we'd have to just hurriedly get them on the table. And then you called out for your block that had to represent the raid. In that block, you usually got the number of raids and the height. The controller sat up there, and he was in charge of the whole of this area. And he had to read the raids on the table, and according to their position, he would call up the necessary squadron.
Serial number?
Serial 97.
Biggin Hill, serial 97, squadron 32, intercept, raid 45.
Radarns förvarning på 45 minuter gav det engelska flyget den tid man behövde.
Completely lost if our warning system hadn't enabled us to conserve the strength of the extraordinarily small group of 22-year-olds who really saved Britain.
Också i fortsättningen lät Göring radarstationerna vara i fred.
And with that he, in my view, lost the Battle of Britain.
De stora tyska förlusterna tvingade Hitler att börja bomba om nätterna istället.
Coventry sei dem Erdboden gleichgemacht worden. Mr. Churchill aber baselt immer noch von der Unbezwingbarkeit seiner Royal Air Force.
Från hösten 1940 blev de nattliga bombräderna över engelska städer förödande effektiva. Man behövde en ny radar som rymdes i planet så att man kunde lokalisera bombplanen och skjuta ner dem. Uppgiften att utveckla det nya systemet gavs till en fysiker.
Taffy Byrne was a tremendously dynamic Welshman, perfectly convinced of his ability to do this job of putting radar into an aeroplane. And he used to say, I want it in the plane by Monday. This would be about Thursday or something like that, so we'd have to work the whole weekend. He was always, this was the great phrase, it must be in the plane by Monday. We shortened that in Welsh to the word blaen o festiniog, which among his group meant in the plane by Monday. Our laboratory of the airborne group in the White Tower of Bordsey Manor. We used to take the equipment to the roof in order to test it and then get echoes from nearby objects like, for example, the water tower at Trimley, which is 4 miles away. It took so long to order tools through the civil service that for a long time we had to use the tools of my motor car. The technical problems were very considerable. Everything had to be miniaturized. And the wavelength had to be shortened because the aerials on the airplane had to be small.
Man satte snabbt ihop en prototyp som demonstrerades för Churchill.
We were not allowed to fly Winston, so we jacked the airplane up in a sort of flying attitude at the edge of the aerodrome, and we flew our target around and round the aerodrome in circles. I had to get Churchill into the back of the airplane. First of all, I had to make him take his hat off. And then I had to take his cigar away, which he was very reluctant to do. I said, sorry, sir, but there's an auxiliary petrol tank in the back of the airplane, and it drips. And he and I got in the back, which was a really tight squeeze. But he was very interested in the demonstration. He said, thank you for showing me this. This is a most important development for night fighting. I call it the smeller out.
En av de första piloter som fick se det nya systemet var John Cunningham.
It was so secret that none of us were really told exactly what this equipment was to do, except that there was this set in the back of the aeroplane and a visor, and it reminded one of the machines that one saw on a pier they were machines that were called what the butler saw. No one had explained really to us what the equipment was and what it was supposed to do and what its capabilities would eventually be. The early radars were pretty unreliable, and as often as not, there would be a smell of hot electrics, and the radar operator would say, "Oh, it's no good, sir. Sorry, it's all to cock." That's what I can remember my radar operator saying. And man gave up, returned to land here.
Radiovågorna träffade inte bara fiendeplanen utan också marken, och det gjorde att reflektionen blev diffus och omätbar.
This led to really tremendous anxiety and enthusiasm to devise this radar system for the fighters on a very much shorter wavelength. Now, the advantage of that is that for the same size of aerial on the plane, one could produce a much narrower beam. And instead of floodlighting the ground, one might be able to produce a narrow beam which would get away from the problems of the ground return.
Vid universitetet i Birmingham försökte man åstadkomma ett genombrott som skulle bidra till att rädda Englands städer från de tyska bomberna. Man arbetade dygnet runt för att hjälpa flygvapnet. I februari 1940 hade man provat världens första kortvågssändare, den så kallade magnetronen. Den hade så hög effekt att den fick en glödlampa att lysa, och våglängden var bara 10 centimeter.
Their original bench system was exceedingly crude. Nevertheless, amazingly, it produced very powerful transmissions on this very short wavelength. This is an example of the cavitry magnetron. It was first brought to this site at the end of July in 1940. Within a few weeks, we had assembled this device which generated powerful radar waves on this short wavelength, and were able to obtain echoes from an aircraft flying above the cliff there, and also detect Coast Guard Hut and the Chapel on St. Alban's Head.
Den hemliga uppfinningen förfinades med improviserade metoder.
At the very beginning, when we already had a crude aerial system with which it was difficult to track aircraft, we hit on the idea of equipping my bicycle, and this is the original machine, by the way, with a piece of metal here, act as a reflector. And with that, I would cycle off down the track and across the headland there, where I could provide, at a touch, a moving target for Dr. Lovell and Dr. Bertram, who are manning each of the transmitter and receiver aerial dishes across the wavelength.
We obtained a very strong echo from that tin sheet. That was on August the 14th, 1940, and it was an observation which in due course was to revolutionize the whole of the activities of Bomber Command and Coastal Command. It was this device, the first system built here, that became of such vital importance to all the RAS services and to the Navy.
Både till lands och till sjöss hade läget blivit allt svårare för britterna. Segern i slaget om Storbritannien hade bara gett en kort respit, medan de tyska styrkorna krossade allt motstånd på kontinenten.
This pressure arose from the tremendous advance of the German armies, the capture of Paris and the tragic evacuation of Dunkirk. And we were completely isolated.
När Hitler hade erövrat Paris i maj så var han så säker på segern att han gav order om att utvecklingen av kortvågsradar skulle upphöra, vilket var ett stort misstag.
Bei uns war man zunächst mit der Zentimetertechnik der englischen Technik weit voraus. Und nachher hat sich das umgekehrt. Telefunken hat nach der Eroberung von Paris den Befehl bekommen von Seiten des Staates, nur noch solche Techniken zu betreiben, die spätestens in einem Jahr zu einer Anwendung führen würden. Und das hat dazu geführt, dass Telefunken das Zentimeterwellenlabor, das es ja gab, damals geschlossen hat.
USA hade inte fått fram en sändare med tillräcklig effekt, så amerikanerna behövde den engelska uppfinningen och England behövde USAs produktionskapacitet. I augusti 1940 beslöt Churchill att överlämna den engelska uppfinningen, alltså magnetronen, till USA. En ung brittisk forskare fick göra den 500 mil långa resan över Atlanten med det topphemliga vapnet.
We could conceive of short wavelengths, you know, this long, focusing in a dish to make a radar beam. But a little weak pipsqueak of a beam that wouldn't go very far, and what we needed was real power. And this tube was the very first thing that anyone had conceived, and it was so unique, it was so different from anything that had been tried. We'd seen other magnetrons, but nothing like a cavity magnetron.
En kommission träffades på en exklusiv klubb i Boston. Alla ledande fysiker i USA hade kallats dit tillsammans med sina studenter. Ett nytt laboratorium inrättades vid MIT i Boston. Och så började en ny era av vetenskapligt samarbete.
My first day on the job happened to be the day after the first echoes were detected with a microwave radar. I was taken immediately to the roof where everybody had gathered around seeing the echoes from the buildings across the Charles River from MIT. And I joined the fun at that stage. Many of us were nuclear physicists with no particular experience in microwaves at all. This was all new. We had to learn that. I can remember sitting at home at night solving the equations to show how the microwaves were transmitted to the antenna.
De amerikanska forskarnas arbetsvillkor var något som engelsmännen bara kunde drömma om. Först skulle man skapa en kortvågsradar som automatiskt skulle låsa på och följa de tyska bombplanen. Som mål för sin radar använde man en väderleksballong som fylldes med vätgas och fick ett skal av aluminium.
It was at this point I remembered that if you rub silk and metal, you can create electrostatic sparks. Unfortunately, I was holding this string and the fire and explosion that occurred burnt my hair and singed my eyebrows, but it didn't hurt my eyes, so I went around for a while without hair and without eyebrows. Therefore, I convinced my good friend Dave Griggs to fly his Lescom airplane for $10 an hour as a target. He'd go into a cloud and come out of the cloud and the telescope would be right smack on that airplane. And everybody who came by wanted to look through the telescope and see this miracle, that you could, in spite of rain, in spite of clouds, the night, daytime, track this airplane. We could see a pigeon at a half a mile and we could see a large bomber at 30 or 40 miles.
Man testade radarn på taket till en bas utanför New York.
I don't remember exactly whether we came up this road, but it does look like the test area was the same one then that it was at the time this place was abandoned up here.
Well, I agree with you, and furthermore, I'm almost positive we were within sight of the water.
I think we were, yes, yes. And beyond these dunes up here,
yes,
clearly must be the place where the setups were.
Nästa steg blev att koppla ihop den målsökande radarn med några luftvärnskanoner.
I was looking through a telescope at a flag towed behind that airplane. And I watched while the first projectile went up and went bang right next to that flag. And as it moved along, the next one went bang next to that flag. This was a triumph for us, who were really laboratory scientists, finding that we could put together a piece of rather complex equipment to solve a difficult problem and have it actually work in the form in which we had made it. It had not been made by a laboratory with full military specifications or anything else. It was a piece of test gear, and it did its job. The prototype became a basis for air defense systems used by the U.S. as well as the British.
Med hjälp av radarn skulle man skjuta ner en oerhörd mängd tyska bombplan. Men i slutet av 1941 stod man inför en ny utmaning i Atlanten, nämligen ubåten. De tyska ubåtarna, som ofta anföll nattetid, var ett dödligt hot mot konvojerna. I början hade man en viss framgång med långvågsradar mot ubåtarna.
But then the Germans discovered what was happening, and they had a very simple device known as METOX, which was a receiver which could effectively listen to the radar signals from the approaching coastal command aircraft. And of course, as soon as they detected it, they would dive immune from attack.
Sobald ich im Kopfhörer diese Ordnung wahrgenommen habe, das war ein Pfeifton, den konnten wir empfangen und es wurde dann sofort der Ruf Ortung und dann erfolgte auch schon gleich das Alarmtauchen. Wir konnten keine Zeit verlieren. Wir mussten recht schnell von der Oberfläche verschwinden, um uns dieser Ortung zu entziehen.
Under hela 1941 ökade förlusten i Atlanten på grund av tyskarnas radarvarnare.
I remember when there were 70 cargo ships sunk without a single U-boat being sunk. And there had to be ways to control that situation, to counter it, or the Allies' outlook in the war was pretty grim.
Man försökte utveckla en kortvågsradar som kunde upptäcka de tyska ubåtarna.
I was briefed to fly a patrol in far northern waters from Shetlands on anti-U-boat patrol. When about 6 miles ahead, we saw a U-boat on the radar and immediately decided to attack.
Herbert Scott kam aus dichten Wolken heraus, ohne dass wir eine Ortung hatten. Der griff mich ungefähr in den Morgenstunden an. Ich hätte noch tauchen können, aber ich wollte meine Batterien aufladen und blieb über Wasser, um das Flugzeug mit Artillerie abzuwehren.
And at that moment I said small prayers for the boy with the front gun, because I realized the whole success of the mission really depended on him reducing the amount of fire that could come out of that U-boat. And I'm pleased to say when he was ordered to fire, the tracers reduced considerably in firepower.
Hatten 12 Verwundete. Ich selbst hatte einen Splitter am Hinterkopf, habe ich gar nicht gemerkt. Das habe ich nachher erst gemerkt, als mir das Blut den Rücken runterlief in den Stiefel rein.
Kortvågsradarn vände snabbt på kriget i Nordatlanten.
It was absolute murder of U-boats in the North Atlantic, and Hitler, in a radio broadcast, complained that to quote his words, the temporary setback to our U-boat campaign is due to one single technical invention of our enemies. And that single technical invention was the cavalry magnetron and its use in the centimeter radar.
Tyskarna hade inte lyckats konstruera någon varnare för kortvågsradar.
Wir machten die wissenschaftliche Entwicklung dafür verantwortlich. Nicht? Denn davor konnte uns nur die Wissenschaft bewahren. Die Forschung also. Nicht? Und die verlangten wir, dass sie vorangetrieben wurde.
Wir hatten den Eindruck, dass der gesamte Atlantik überwacht wurde mit diesen Radargeräten. Denn wir waren ja nicht mehr die Angreifer, wir waren ja dann schon durch diese ganze Funkmessortung, waren wir praktisch die Gejagten.
Radarn skulle snart förvandlas från ett försvars till ett anfallsvapen. Man skapade en kartbild av de städer som man såg från de brittiska bombplanen.
Two of our people were asked to depress their scanner to look towards the ground and fly over Southampton. And to everyone's astonishment, the reflections showed up clearly and they took a photograph of the cathode ray tube. These films were actually rushed to the superintendent's desk, but while they were still wet, because it was exciting as that, and he declared, this will win the war. I was faced with the problem of making equipment to go in the new four-engined heavy bombers. The difficulties turned out to be formidable. The Prime Minister summoned us to the cabinet room at a very, very bad time. We had lost Tobruk, with the garrison of 30,000 people, and he thumped the table of the cabinet room and demanded that we have two squadrons flying by October. And when he was told that it was impossible, he became very angry and said, look here, we don't have objections in this room. You go into that anteroom and don't come out until you tell me how you're going to do it. And the enormous, immense priority and pressure was put on us.
Efter enorma förluster under bombningarna på dagtid så hade man övergått till nattliga räder. Men besättningarna riskerade livet bara för att fälla sina bomber flera kilometer från de mål som de inte kunde se. ...1942 började bombplan utrustas med den nya radarn som hade fått kodnamnet H2S.
I heard from a friend about some marvelous new equipment that they had got, and it was a result of this that I came down to Pathfinder Force and just found out for myself just how wonderful this apparatus was supposed to be. Now, this is the housing for the radar scanner for the H2S. Inside here, there was the revolving scanner that sent out the centimeter wavelength transmissions, were received back and appeared on the screen in the aircraft. It left a lot to the imagination in the early stages, but it did provide, if you were good at using it, an indication certainly with coastlines and with major towns, a way of identifying your position in a way that was never possible before.
Första gången H2S användes i strid var vid ett bombanfall mot Hamburg.
I remember one Saturday morning having a telephone call from one of the staff at the aerodrome in Huntingdonshire, from which the Pathfinder Force were operating, saying that he thought it would be a good idea if I spent the weekend in the country. That was a code for me to get to the aerodrome as quickly as possible. That was a very exciting night.
The the raid on Hamburg was approached with considerable enthusiasm and optimism, I think, by all the Pathfinder crews, because we knew that the odds would be in our favour. We were going to be looking for the enemy coast on the screen, and that would give us an early opportunity to line up on the target. The capacity of H2S to differentiate between the ground and water was the most spectacular thing. The screen would be black if it was going to be water that you were flying over, and it would be pale green if it was the land surface. Hamburg itself was a very clear, vivid image. The radar screen was almost filled with it, and it was very easy to locate. Could, at the end of the raid on the way home, see the fires from 100 miles away. And it was a very, very conspicuous success from the air, even at low altitude.
One navigator came back and said it was wonderful. The